I'm not pulling in my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another drive to work at home edition. Well, I like to use my time at home to do interviews. So today I have Melissa DeTora on with me. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me. Always great to be on.
And we're going to talk all about the casual play team, which is something that you oversee.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just get right into it and talk about what it is.
Yeah, well, we did do a podcast once before, so we'll do a little bit of explaining, but we're going to get into the crunchier side of things today. I want to talk about what you guys do, how you work on sets, so we're going to get into that. But just to introduce the people that maybe haven't heard the last podcast we did, what is the Casual Play Design Team?
Okay, so we're a playtesting team. We playtest mostly Commander. You know, we play constructed Commander decks using cards of upcoming sets. We also playtest Commander Precons. We playtest every Magic product that we make, which includes main sets, Jumpstart, Commander Precons, Mechanically Unique Secret Lairs. Basically anything that we release that has mechanically unique cards, we will playtest in the context of Commander.
Okay, so we're going to just make a mythical set here, Mythical Set X that we make. So we're going to talk about we make Set X. So when does your team, when's the first time your team would get involved with Set X, let's say?
Okay, so the first time our team will get involved is probably about the same time that Play Design will start working on the FFL part of the set, so pretty late in the process. So I'll just talk about some things that we do during our what we call focus periods. So the team will do a file pass, leave a bunch of comments in the file for the leads for every set. We'll hold meetings with the various leads. Like, so for the main set, we'll hold a meeting with the FFL lead, which is Jadeen, and the main set lead will vary from set to set. So let's use a hypothetical set lead. Let's use Andrew Brown as an example. So,
okay.
Well, we did this for EOE, so I think that was the most recent set that he led. So get in a meeting room, go over all of the rares and mythics of the set, and talk about what cards do we want to aim at Commander, what cards do we want to aim at 60-card constructed, what cards we want to aim at any format. You know, we want to make sure that there are cards for everybody. But what's important to do is assign the goals to the set. So, you know, if there is a card that FFL feels is very important for them to work on, we don't have to step on their toes with, like, what we want to do to the card. So that's why we do that. We also do lots of play tests. So we do 3 play tests a week. To prepare for the play tests, we will build decks. So let's use EOE as an example here, I guess, because that's the set that I picked. So EOE has a Commander product associated with it, and it also has a main set. So we'll pick a Commander, let's say the Station Commander from the Precon, which is a deck that cares about sacrificing your lands, okay? So we'll build a constructed Commander deck out of that Commander. We'll use other mechanically unique cards from the Commander Precon that are already have been designed. And we'll also play cards from the main set. So what's important here is to test the interactions with the Commander cards and the main set cards, because, you know, backing up for a little bit. So if you only play test the Commander Precon cards in the context of the Commander Precon, you don't learn about interactions that happen out in the wild, that happen out in the real world, or interactions with the main set. So that's kind of an important goal for us, is to just test interactions that the Commander Precon team will not see.
Yeah, the other thing that's important that we should raise here is when we make a Magic set, a premier set, like, our goal is to make something that everybody can play with, and that Commander is the number one played tabletop format. We want to make sure that there's cards that are fun for Commander.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's really important that we playtest these cards in, like, different contexts than what we have in the past. Long ago, before there was a casual play design team, these cards only got playtested in the precons, and also some of the cards would not get playtested at all. Like, what's an example? Baldur's Gate, I think, is a good example. There was no casual play design team during Commander Legends Baldur's Gate, so those cards only got playtested in their draft format. So, you know, they wouldn't get playtested out, like, in a constructed format or in another Commander game that we would just build random decks for. So we couldn't really see the impact of something like Take the Initiative, or, you know, just the impact of the Commanders outside of Limited. So that's kind of like a big change that the casual play team has brought.
So let's talk a little bit about mechanics. So obviously every premiere set's going to have mechanics. How do you interact with the design team to maximize mechanics for Commander?
So I guess it starts as early as vision design, actually, because during our vision summit is, I think, the first time that I will see mechanics usually. And often what we would do in the vision summit is, as we play test, kind of think about what mechanics are cool in Commander, what mechanics are relevant, and also, like, kind of more importantly, does the set have enough things to do in Commander? Does the set have enough mechanics that you can build a Commander deck out of? Like, are the cards too parasitic, or, like, are they only geared towards limited or constructed, you know? So the feedback that I would leave would be in that regard of, like, hey, maybe there's not enough stuff to do in Commander, and, like, give recommendations of how to make the mechanics more Commander relevant, or maybe some feedback would be like, hey, these mechanics are not really interesting in Commander at all. Maybe there's something else you can do here entirely. So that's vision.
So real quick, let me, for the audience that might not, I've done a podcast on Vision Summit, so you can go listen to that if you haven't. Really quickly, just to update everybody, Vision's about usually 3 to 4 months long. About 3/4 of the way through Vision, we have what's called the Vision Summit. That is where we sit a whole bunch of people down, we play with the set, so we can get feedback. One of the feedbacks we get is on from Melissa and her team about, hey, is this set making sense for Commander? Are there cool things to do in Commander? And that we will then take those notes from the Vision Summit, and we still have a little bit of time to try to address them. And so oftentimes we'll get feedback on Commander, and then the Vision team will fiddle a little bit to see if we can help the mechanics lean toward making them more Commander friendly.
Yeah, and then another thing that sometimes happens is maybe there's a really cool Commander mechanic in the main set in Vision, but maybe it doesn't really fit in the set for some reason, or it wants to get repurposed as something else. The Vision lead might give it to the Commander team and be like, hey, here's this really cool mechanic that we made, but it maybe doesn't fit in our set very well, but maybe you guys can do something cool with it for the Commander precon.
Yeah, another thing that comes up a lot is, sometimes you have a neat idea, or there's something you really want, or maybe you're doing a return and there's a fun returning mechanic, but it just doesn't fit in what the set is doing. And that we definitely think of the Commander decks as, oh, maybe this is a place we could do this thing that won't fit in the set.
Yeah. So I think we can move on to set design now. So the casual play design team doesn't work very much with set design for a large portion of it. What might happen is, like, the set lead might ask us questions of, like, hey, how's this card shaping up? Or, like, hey, you know, there's this, you know, legendary character that's the main part of the story when we want to make sure it's cool for Commander. So can you give us some ideas for its design, like that kind of stuff? But during a lot of set design, we're not playtesting the cards. It's mostly just, like, talking to leads and stuff. And also just checking in to see how the mechanics are shaping up, see how the legendary creatures are shaping up to, like, kind of get ready for down the line when we start playtesting, which is usually after set design has concluded.
So here's a question, I'm just curious. If competitive is interested in a card, like, how often does it overlap that it's something 60 card competitive wants to play and it's something you expect Commander to be playing?
It does overlap sometimes, but that's why it's really important to have this meeting before we start playtesting to go over all the rares and mythics to, like, make sure we're on the same page with, you know, what cards are important for FFL and what cards are important for Commander. That said, there are going to be overlaps at times. Let me try and think of an example. It might just be a hypothetical example. You know, there might be a card where it's like, maybe it's a cheap legendary creature that also has this really cool, like, engine or something on it that is also, like, a really cool Commander. So the legendary creature, if it's cheap, is often going to be relevant and constructed because Standard usually wants to play, like, low to the ground aggressive stuff. So, you know, there might be some overlap there. And then if it's also a legendary creature in the command zone and it has some kind of, like, engine building quality to it, then it'll be relevant in Commander as well. So you might have a time where like, maybe casual play design will want to change a card, maybe, like, buff a card to make it cooler in the command zone, but it might not be appropriate to make that change to Standard. So in that case, we're going to have to, you know, sit in a meeting room and just kind of talk about, like, what's the most important goal here? And that's just kind of up to like me, the set lead, and like JD to kind of figure out together. I mean, I'll try and think of an example. Maybe I'll use Avatar since that set came out recently. Let's see. I have a good one. Avatar Aang, which is the four color one. Is that a good example? I don't know. Maybe that card was always aimed at Commander. I'm gonna just use this as a hypothetical example. I don't think this actually happened, but
Okay.
imagine there's this Avatar Aang card, and it's being played in Standard, and maybe it's playing too strong in Standard, for example. So this is a pretty important card for Commander because it's like has this really aspirational build around. It's a legendary creature. It's also the main character of the set, so pretty important to like be able to build a commander deck with it. So in this situation where like play design wants to change the card and maybe commander play testing wants to change the card, we'll sit in a meeting room and just kind of talk about what's the most important thing here, like what's the most important goal. And like in the case of Avatar Aang, it is more important that it's a cool commander than a standard card. So we would look for ways to like make changes that don't affect 1v1 Constructed that will a affect Commander. Like, trying to think of examples of the Aang card. Like, this card changed a lot over time. Like, because I remember like way long ago, it didn't used to care about doing all the bendings. It like was a completely different design. But once we made the decision, hey, we want this to be Commander only, we were just kind of like, okay, what's the coolest thing this can be for Commander? And we kind of came to a design. It was like, oh, what if it did all the air, what if it did all the bendings, like what if it told you to play all the bendings in the same deck, so we kind of just went that direction. Hopefully that answered the question.
No. I mean, the one thing that to me is really interesting is, like, I often talk about how every card has to have an audience, right? Every card's for somebody. And then a lot of what your team's job is to figure out, okay, what cards are for the audience that you serve? I guess my question for you is, how do you figure out what cards are most attuned for what your team should be doing?
It's very case by case. I don't think there's like an easy like one size fits all answer to that question. Generally like gold cards that are legendary are more served for command zone. Cheaper, aggressive, slanted creatures, just like low mana cost stuff often is going to be more served for 1v1. And then you have this like middle ground of just like cool rares and mythics that are monocolor that can kind of just be for everybody. But like again, there's no one size fits all answer. It's very case by case, depending on just what is the set, what is important to the lead, and like what's important to the set, what kind of themes are standard trying to encourage in the standard format is another question to think about.
Yeah, one of the things that is definitely really interesting to me is I know a lot of people, when they think about designing for a commander, they focus on the commanders, which obviously you guys spend a lot of time on. But let's talk a little bit about the 99, right? Like,
Yeah,
a
sure.
lot of time is spent on not just making things that are fun for the commanders, but making things fun for just the general game. Can we talk a little bit about how you do that?
Yeah, sure. So, I think mechanics is a good place to start. So, I guess going back to Air, Avatar. Yeah, that's the name of it. Going back to the Avatar set, each bending does a pretty interesting thing. And we thought it would be really cool if there was could be a commander deck around each of those things. I like we couldn't do everything because like airbending is just so has such a small footprint in the set, but like we wanted there to be an earthbending deck, for example. So often there's going to be one or two commander shots for this strategy. So for Avatar we have Toph, who is an earthbending character. I think Boomy was another. I don't remember the names of cards. I don't really know Avatar super well, honestly. But we have like one, two, or three commander shots of the mechanic we're trying to encourage, and then a bunch of shots for the 99. And then like another thing that isn't exclusive to Avatar, but like we want to also find mechanics that are backwards compatible with all of Magic as well. Like if you put every card that said Earthbending into your commander deck, you're just not going to have enough cards. So you want to like find designs that lend themselves to like play more cards from older Magic so you can actually like build an actual deck. So like with earth bending, more ways to animate lands, you know, or like plus one counters or stuff like that, are ways like cards you can put in your earthbending deck from older Magic that can actually make a functional deck, as one example.
Yeah, one of the challenges I know from my end of things is that when we make a mechanic, if the mechanic is too singular in what it's doing, it's too parasitic, then you just can't have enough cards to make the deck out of. And we want to make sure that some of our themes, people can do that. And it's if all your cards come from the deck that we're making, the set we're making, there's usually not enough to make a commander deck out of.
Yeah, for sure. And this is actually something that comes up in Commander Precon set design, where when you're trying to pick themes for Commander Precons, and you're just like, okay, so, you know, we're on, let's see, what's a good example set? I guess Avatar still. Imagine we were making a Precon with Earthbending, and, you know, you have a main set you can pull some cards from. You have maybe, you know, 10 to 12 new slots for new cards for a deck. You're just not going to have enough earthbending cards to make a functional commander deck. So often with commander precons, you're not going to use the set mechanic as your theme. Sometimes you will. It really depends on what the theme is. But like, let's see, for EOE, which I think was the last Magic IP set to come out.
It was.
cool. You know, sometimes it's hard to keep track because we work on so many sets that are not released yet. You know,
yeah, I'm working on a set right now from 2029, so.
it's crazy. So those two decks, there is a land sacrifice deck and a charge counter deck. Neither of those themes are in EOE as like a main theme of the set, you know. EOE had lander tokens, it had spacecrafts, what else did it have?
Warp, void.
Oh, yeah, sure, like, a lot of, like, kind of generic stuff, but, like, those mechanics with names, there are just not enough of those that exist. So you can't make a commander deck out of those, so we had to just kind of look to, like, what are these themes in EOE trying to encourage and just kind of, like, make up a theme that encourages a lot of EOE cards, but also allows you to find enough cool cards from Magic Past that can go in the deck. So with EOE, the new mechanic is spacecrafts. Well, if you make a commander deck that tells you play all the spacecrafts in one deck, you're just not going to have enough spacecrafts. So the direction that we went with there was the charge counter stuff and proliferate, you know, so you can play the cool spacecrafts in your deck, but also you can play your Lux Cannon and your, I don't know, Thrumming Birds and that kind of stuff. So you have like enough like pieces, like, you know, older mechanics that still work with the spacecraft stuff, you know?
Okay, so you brought about the decks. Let's talk a little bit about picking themes of decks. When do decks themes get picked?
Okay, so we do vision design for Commander Precons. It usually starts about a month or so after the set design team starts of that set. So pretty decently after, like after the world has been picked, after we know the mechanics of the set, that's when vision design would typically start. So the vision team, the lead, like, you know, again, we already know what the themes of the main set are. So in vision, that's the time where you're trying to pick the themes of the precons. So I can talk a little bit about how we go about picking themes for the precons. The first thing we do is we just look at what the main set is doing and see if there's anything that's cool and promising there that can make an interesting commander deck. So we'll like kind of take a look at all the themes, do a bunch of research on existing commander decks. Like we will go to EDH Rec, we'll do like a bunch of magic searches on like Magic database and stuff, and just see like, are there enough cards that exist in Magic where you can build a 100 card deck out of, you know? And sometimes the answer is yes, this theme works great. But a lot of times the answer is no, there are just not enough cards, especially if it's a new mechanic, you know? Like, if the theme of the set is like doing instants and sorceries, well, that's broad enough where you'll be able to do that theme fine. But if the theme of the set is, let's see, like the crafting mechanic from LCI, that might be a lot tougher to care about that, because, you know, there's only like so few cards with crafting. And there's also other challenges with crafting, like the fact that they're all double-faced cards. But anyway, there are going to be times where you're not going to be able to use the themes from the main set. So in the cases where you can't use themes from the main set, we're often going to just look at, like, who are the characters that are on the world, right? So what's a good example? I want to use an existing magic plane that has a lot of stuff as an example. Maybe
Tarkir?
TDM?
Yeah.
Tarkir's a good one. Yeah, I was actually the vision lead of that set, so I know exactly what we did for that one. So the themes were, a lot of the themes for TDM were like very limited focus or constructive focus and didn't like lend themselves very well to commanders. So we didn't pick a lot of themes from the main set for the commander decks. We did Dragon Typhal, which was a main theme. That was a pretty easy theme to nail down because the main set was doing Dragon Typhal. We hadn't done a Dragon Typhal precon in a while. It just seemed like a very easy theme to do. And then for Abzan, they were doing, is it called Endure? I think it's called Endure, which is +1/+1 counters and tokens.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's fine, but that's a theme that we do a lot. So we wanted to do something kind of different. So we ended up doing a Toughness Matters deck. I don't know, it had a lot of big creatures and we just thought that theme would be like cool and sideways and just a little bit different. And then for the, for Jeskai, we knew that the character was Narset. So that was like, we knew that that was who we wanted to be as the commander. And Narset cares about non-creature spells. So since that was the character we knew we wanted to do, it was a pretty easy theme to just do non-creature spells, you know? So that's kind of what we do. We like look to see who the characters are and like what kind of themes you could do out of those existing characters. And if it's a new character, the creative lead is usually on the team as well to talk about like, oh, hey, here's this new character. Here's the power suite. Here's the, you know, the creative, what this person cares about, like creatively and that kind of stuff. So you can kind of figure out what theme you can do based on like the world building.
Okay, so vision design, you do your first stab at the themes. What's the next step?
Okay, so in vision, the next step is build the deck. We don't have new card designs at this time. We only, we'll design the face commander, and we'll then build the deck out of just reprints. And so early on in the process, we're building very loose, like prototypes, proof of concept kind of versions of the deck. So we won't build a real mana base. We'll just like throw in like, you know, all your lands produce any color, you know, all command towers, that kind of thing. But like the goal of that is to make sure that there's enough reprints to draw from the existing card pool. Because if there isn't, we can't do that theme. We have to just kind of scrap the idea and like come up with something else. But, you know, assuming that we were able to successfully build a deck and we feel that there's enough reprints to draw from the existing card pool, we'll just start playtesting and just kind of see if this theme is cool, if it's promising, if there's enough design space to build 12 new cards out of this theme. And that's pretty much it for vision design. Like, vision design is pretty short. It's usually 1 month, and it's just pick the themes, build the prototypes of the decks, and just, like, do a playtest to make sure that the decks can function.
Okay, and then we move to set design.
Yep, then we move to set design, which is, like, a pretty, like, similar to what, you know, a main set design would be. You have a design team. Each person on the design team will be assigned a deck usually. So it's usually four people on the team. If it's like Tarkir where there's five decks, you'll have a fifth person to pick up that fifth deck, or somebody will just take two decks. But you will own that deck for most of that team. Maybe halfway through, if the lead wants to swap things out, you might like own another deck, but typically you're gonna just own that deck throughout that whole process. And from there, the team will be designing new cards for the deck. Usually it's like, it's pretty collaborative. So like if I own the Dragon Typhal deck, it's not just on me to design the Dragon Typhal cards. Other people on the team can contribute, and I can also contribute to other people's designs as well. So the meetings usually consist of group design of like all the new cards in the deck. They consist of, the meetings can also consist of play tests. Like we'll usually play test once a week. We'll also include the set lead of the main set. So the Tarkir set lead will come join a playtest to make sure that they know what we're doing and we know what they're doing. So we can make sure we can just design the best cards we can, not like overlap and just, you know, like make sure that the best cards are in each product, right? So if like, so the design lead for that set was Adam Prozac. So if Adam Prozac has this really awesome teamer dragon card, that would make a great commander card, but for some reason, like, they don't want it in their set, maybe it's problematic and limited. Maybe it's not really a card that standard is, they're like concerned with it for some reason. He could just give that card to the commander team, and like, we can just put that in our decks, and vice versa. Like, if we came up with a card that looks like a really fun standard card, we can ship that over to that team as well. So that's why, like, we'll have that lead involved in our playtests, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, cards can flow back and forth between the two.
They can. Yeah. Yep. And that has happened more and more recently as we've been more and more collaborative with who's involved in commander set team design and main set design.
So there's another thing I know you guys have been doing. I don't know how recent this is, but I want to talk a little bit about trying to make sure that the set lead who's designing the main set is making cards that are relevant for the constructed decks you guys are making.
Yes, that is pretty new, probably in the last like 6 months or so. So we have a goal for Commander Precons, and that is to have relevant upgrades, like cool cards for the Precon in their sets. What's an example I can use? I think Tarkir is a really good example because like the themes of Tarkir just like were pretty good for the Precons and for the main set. Like they crossed together really well because there were just a lot of really cool dragons. So we'll use that as an example. So Ureni, who is the commander for the Typhle Precon, had a really cool version in the main set. So, you know, you could go pick up that card and add that to your deck. Also, there were just a really, like a high number of dragon Typhle cards, like the Dragon Storms, or, I don't know, like your dragons cost zero, that card. So we want, like, just make sure that, like, each deck has a number of interesting choices for the player in case they want to upgrade or like they're purchasing both the precon and the main set. You know, they have options for how they can customize their deck.
Okay, so set design. So, what's the end part of set design?
After we're pretty happy with the shapes of the new cards and the decks, and set design ends, CPD Commander play design will start. So that will start with, like I said, we'll have the meeting with the lead to talk about, like, what are the goals of each deck and, like, what's important for all of these cards. Like, what's important for the set lead to preserve on each of the cards in case we want to make changes. You know, just make sure we're on the same page. And then we just start playtesting. So, like I was saying earlier, we do 3 playtests a week. And then during the week, each member of the team will just build decks out of... Basically, like, it's pretty open-ended for deck building, especially early in the process. So for Tarkir, for example, like, maybe I'll build my Ureni main set commander, but I'll include a bunch of cards from the commander precons, and I'll also try and include the strongest commander dragon type of cards that exist in Magic that are not in the precons, just to get a feel for how they all play together, right? Basically, like, the goals are, like, make sure that the cards that we have positioned as upgrades for the Commander Precon are getting there, making sure they're cool enough. You know, making sure the cards all play fun, making sure there's, like, nothing problematic. Like, it's okay to have very powerful cards or, like, combos and stuff, but, like, make sure that they're reasonable, fun to play if you're not comboing, that kind of stuff. So we just do a lot of play tests during this time. We make a lot of card changes. We have a meeting once a week to talk to the leads about cards that we're finding not fun or finding problematic to make changes. And then it's just kind of rinse and repeat, you know? Playtest, do verbal or written feedback, have a meeting, talk about changes, make changes, start the process over. Like, later on in the process, we'll have more focused playtesting because once cards are in relatively stable spots, we won't have to playtest them anymore. We'll only be playtesting cards that were just... Like, cards that have changed a lot, cards that we're still pretty unsure about, so I'll assign out, like, decks to build, like, oh, hey, you know, this Ureni card is playing really strong. We haven't seen it with X and Y interaction yet. Hey, can you build this deck for the next playtest? So I'll do little deck building assignments like that as we get down the line.
All right. Well, that I mean, we're almost out of time today, but I hope the audience gets a sense of, I mean, you guys spend a lot of time and energy. Like I know people, because competitive design's going on for a long time, the idea that, oh, we have to make sure that this card or that card is costed correctly. But, you know, you guys are doing all of that just on the casual side of things.
Yeah. We're also making sure cards are costed correctly. And I think for Commander, we don't need to be as precise as play design does with Standard, because, you know, they're playing such a small format, and also they have to balance things like competitively. Like, if a card is not fun and very strong in Standard and you want to win, you have to play that card still. But in Commander, people still want to win in Commander, but like, Commander is more of a social format. You're just there to have a good time. If there's a card that your play group really doesn't like, you can just choose not to play it, you know? So if there's a card that is like very strong for Commander, your play group can just be like, hey, how about you just don't play that card, you know? And now that we have the bracket system in place and there's more guidelines as well, if a card ends up being a little stronger than we had anticipated, it can just be played for like bracket 4 games if it's like meeting the criteria of that, for example. So that's another thing that has kind of helped us in the development process.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for joining us today, Melissa. It's always fun to sort of see behind the scenes, and there's a lot of work that you guys do, and I don't know how much the average person's aware of it, so.
Yeah, thanks. It's always fun being on, and last time I was on, we talked about similar stuff, but things have changed a lot, and this one was a lot more crunchy than the last one, I think, so hopefully you guys enjoy it.
Yeah, the feedback I always get from the audience is, you guys like crunchy stuff, so trying to get more crunchy content for you. So anyway, I just want to thank you for being here today, Melissa, and I'm sure we'll have you on again.
All right, thank you.
So guys, I can now see my desk, so we all know what that means. It's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. Well, see you all next time. Bye-bye.